Philippians chapter 1, that's on page 1179. I'll be reading verses 3 to 6 and then 27 to 30. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And then on the next page, 1180, verses 27 to 30. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Let me begin today with a question. How have you found returning to the office? And the reason I'm asking this is because for me, it's actually been quite weird. Not sure about your office, but my floor is completely empty at the moment. And it feels a bit like being part of The Walking Dead. And we had such an odd fire drill the other day when I didn't recognize any of the five or so other people evacuating the building with me. I guess on the plus side, I can walk into partners' corner offices, sit on their couches, and dream of what it would be like to have a nice view. But jokes aside, it's actually felt a bit lonely. And I keep asking myself, where is my team? And yes, I know, we're still in a transition phase. These are truly unique times, and things will go back to normal soon. But leaving that aside, even when the world is normal, how often can we as Christians feel lonely and isolated in the office? And you may be sitting here today feeling exactly that, or simply forgetting who your Christian teammates are. And that's all the more reason for us to ask ourselves, where is my team? Now imagine how Paul must have felt writing his letter to the church in Philippi. He was in prison, over 600 miles away from them, in a dark and lonely cell in Rome. And that must have been particularly hard for him because he had a very special connection to the Philippians. In fact, they were part of the first church he founded, but he wasn't able to see them. He had every reason to feel isolated. But let's look down on verse 3 to see what he says. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What an encouragement. Despite being in prison, Paul is full of thankfulness and joy. He describes his friends at the church in Philippi as partners in the gospel, and he's rejoicing in that. And if you're following in the handouts, that's our first point today. Partners in the gospel. But what sort of partnership is this? Well, to start with, it's a partnership in the gospel. A gospel partnership because the gospel has created it. And so the link between Paul and the church here is the gospel. They are all partakers and partners of grace. Through God's grace, they've been saved. And through God's grace, they can share in gospel work. That's what makes them partners. That's their team. And partnership in the original Greek speaks of sharing. Sharing as a joint enterprise with one common purpose and goal. The Christians in Philippi all share in their faith and salvation by grace. Just like we as Christians here in the city share in partnership in the same way. a joint enterprise with one common purpose and goal. And this isn't like any other partnerships we may come across, which give you that full sense of stability and unity, but inevitably fail and come to an end. Think of Messi and Barcelona, 21 years together, over 600 goals. That partnership came to an end. The Beatles, the greatest band of all time, but only in proper partnership for 8 years. Or even partnerships as we know them here in the city. In law, for example, I'm getting to the stage in my career, for example, where I should be thinking about making partner. And recruiters keep calling, offering me firms with the best partnership track. But is that really the partnership I should be longing for? I mean, no. Law partners jump ship all the time. As soon as someone puts more money on the table, they're willing to switch firms. Sorry if there are any law partners here today. But the partnership Paul refers to in our passage is so much better. It's rooted on the unchanging and unfading gospel, the message that Jesus Christ is Lord, judge and king over everyone, who offers salvation to all who trust in him. That's what gives real unity and stability. And note how this work of partnership is unfinished. Verse 6, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Jesus is yet to return to complete the work he started in us. It's an incomplete mission. And that's why it's so important that we ask ourselves, where is my team? Who am I engaged with in this mission? Where are my teammates? Well, here they are. Those who I share a joint enterprise with whom I have one common purpose and goal. We are in partnership here today as we reflect on God's word together and publicly proclaim Jesus in the city. And if we move on in our passage, verse 27 marks the beginning of a central section of the letter where Paul urges the Philippians to continue growing as gospel partners. Let's see what Paul has to say. Verse 27, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind." So that's what partnership is all about. Standing firm in one spirit and one mind. A joint enterprise with one common purpose and goal. And what Paul is really trying to emphasize here is that gospel partnership is not an individualistic affair. Christians are united by the one Holy Spirit with one united mind. It's a team affair. And having one mind goes to our very essence. It's what we consider valuable and what we think is worth prioritizing. It's all about our ambitions during our time here in the city. So, do you see yourselves as gospel partners? And I'm sure that over lockdown, many of us have become distant from our work colleagues. Zoom can only do so much, really. But what about our fellow gospel partners? Are we clear on who they are? When we go back to work later today, do we know where our team is and how we're meant to be partnering together? Well, I think the rest of our passage very helpfully gives us two action points in this regard. The first action point is in the second half of verse 27. Paul says, "Striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." And that's our next point on the handout. As partners in the gospel, strive side by side. And the striving side by side Paul is talking about here is really meant to make us think of being in a team. Being a gospel partner is like a team sport. We're striving side by side together for the faith of the gospel. And when I read this verse, I instantly think of the Olympics. Not sure if you enjoy following the Olympics, but I actually loved it this year. And the real highlight for me was the men's high jump final. You may have watched it or read about it, but essentially after several jumps, two athletes were tied. Barshim from Qatar and Tamberi from Italy. And so the official comes up to Dan and says, look, guys, this is going to go into sudden death. Can you still jump? And the Qatari just asks, well, can we share the gold instead? He looks at the Italian, and they both knew exactly what they wanted, sharing that gold medal. They completely forgot that a minute ago, they were still competing against each other. And it was just remarkable. The official agrees, they get their flags out, and walk side by side celebrating their joint victory for the whole world to see. And that's exactly the picture Paul is giving us here. Striving side by side, one spirit and one mind, sharing the gold medal with one common purpose and goal, putting your self-interest aside and working together as a team. And when we reflect on striving side by side, there isn't really an application that will fit everybody. It will look different for everyone. But Paul is really encouraging us here to actually strive. Don't be passive or static. Get stuck in and serve as a partner in the gospel. So here is my question. How will you partner as your office returns to normality? And if I'm brutally honest, this passage has been a bit of a wake-up call for me personally. I know I serve in different ways at church, but where does partnership at work sit within my priorities? How am I partnering with my Christian colleagues? And sometimes I just go into solo player mode and forget who my Christian teammates are. I let the busyness of work get in the way. And when that happens, I find it helpful to sometimes just stop and in prayer, consider what opportunities the Lord has given me. Because there are just so many ways in which we can partner in the gospel. Meeting up with your Christian colleagues to pray and attend lunchtime talks, or just going for a coffee to chat and encourage each other in our walks with Christ. And if your workplace doesn't already have a faith group, have you been proactive in trying to find other Christians in the office? Or if your office is small, have you perhaps considered partnering with others in the city who already have established faith groups? So it could be worth chatting and brainstorming with the St. Helens City team if that's your case. So do ask yourself, how could the Lord use me in gospel partnership? And when reflecting on partnership opportunities, we also need to consider what's going to stop us. Will we take opportunities for the gospel, or will we run from them in fear? And that's what must have been on Paul's mind when he wrote verses 28 to 30. Look down with me. And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you shall not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. And that's our second action item and final point on the handout. As partners in the gospel, do not be frightened. The thing is that fear and opposition can really hinder gospel partnership. And the Philippians here knew that the very unity created by the gospel was under constant threats. I mean, Paul himself was in prison. And Paul wants the Philippians to be clear that if they stand as partners in the gospel, they are to expect opposition. Paul is saying, as you stand openly for Christ, you will face opposition from those who reject Jesus. And I doubt any of us here today have ever been jailed for our faith. But what do your colleagues think of the fact that you're a Christian? What will they say when they hear you're meeting Christians in the office to pray? Or when you say no to a team lunch because you've got your weekly lunchtime talk? How will they react when you're organizing a gospel event in the office? As you stand openly for Christ, you will face opposition. And so, to finish, what's stopping you from partnering at work? For me personally, one of the things that I really care about is what my colleagues and bosses think of me. I want to be respected and well-liked. I want to do a good job and get the recognition I think I deserve. And often, gospel work doesn't quite fit with that. Our colleagues might not like the fact that we're Christians. They might not like the fact that you leave your desk sometimes to go to a lunchtime talk or a Bible study. And so partnering in the gospel will sometimes seem hard work. It will take up your time. It means you may miss out on promotions and be teased and mocked at work. But do not be frightened in anything, Paul says. Paul is saying, do not be frightened, because as they oppose you and the gospel, they're clearly showing which side they're on. It's a clear sign of their destruction. And we, as gospel partners, are on the right side. Let me pray for us to close. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for gospel partnership. Thank you that we are partners here in the city, Father. And I pray that as work returns to normal, as the city goes back to normal, we pray that you really help us in thinking and reflecting on the partnership opportunities you've given us. Help us to really get stuck in. In your name we pray. Amen.